Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. This is The Big Conversation. It's a great debate, but only if you join in. And to do that, you can call me on 442086014555. You call us, we'll call you back. Establish a clear line, and remember, if you get on the television with me, your television has to be down at zero or no one will understand either of us. You can also SMS the show on 4478008066, or you can email me at comment@presstv.co.uk. Well, Ben Gurion Airport in Tel Aviv is closed, and Israel has just discovered that the Palestinian people have the means and the will and the determination to fight back. They're no longer a punch bag that can be gassed and bombed at will. The white phosphorus gas, which was again dropped in the last few hours over Gaza, will not choke the life out of the Palestinian people. And however many Israeli kill, the Palestinian people, by the grace of God, will produce more children than Israel is able to destroy. So if they're hoping to kill their way out of the conundrum that they have created by the Settler States Foundation, it ain't going to work. And in fact, all over the world, there are demonstrations going on right now as the people of the world begin to rise up in support and defense of the Palestinian people. The government, of course, is something else. President Barack Obama, fresh from his thumping new mandate and having been damaged and having been the subject of an attempt to bring him down by Mr. Netanyahu and his supporters, has nonetheless loyally been dragooned in behind the Israeli position. William Hague, Little Willie Hague, has made it clear that Britain stands four square behind the Israeli aggression, as has the peace envoy. Remember him? The peace envoy to the Middle East, Mr. Tony Blair. That's going well, isn't it? The peace envoyship of Mr. Blair. He's right behind Israel too. What about you? I need your calls, your SMS and your emails. We're talking tonight about the Israeli savagery against the captive people of the Gaza Strip and the Palestinian heroism of the fight back, which has now begun. We'll be asking what's happened to the Arab governments, you know, those ones that are forever putting money and weapons into fighting against other Arab regimes, turning Muslims against Muslims. Isn't it time for the Arabs to turn their guns away from each other and come to the aid of the Palestinians who are bleeding? That's one of the questions we'll be discussing tonight. As we'll be discussing the wave of anti-austerity strikes which are breaking over Europe as mass unemployment and the prospect of actual economic and financial collapse stares European country after country in the face. And we'll be talking about Bahrain, which has found a novel solution to the fact that some of its citizens are demanding democracy, the right to elect the leaders of their country. You know, the kind of thing we take for granted in European countries. Bahrain has found an interesting situation to resolve this. They have revoked the citizenship of their own people. Now, some images in this program may disturb some viewers, but hey, it's a disturbing time of the year and the time of man. Let's go to the first caller, if we may, and it's Hawa, who's in London, but wants to talk about Gaza. Hawa, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you for welcoming me to the show.
Go ahead, please.
I would just like to say, you know, it's kind of disappointing that the whole world, because I was watching the news this morning and I saw the response from William Hague of the Minister of UK, Secretary of the UK, and he was saying how this is all Hamas's fault and basically putting all the blame on the Palestinians. Though I don't condone any killings, whether it's Israelis or Palestine, I think it's quite shameful that if someone of a Muslim background does something, then they become terrorists. Whereas, you know, if someone else of, you know, another background does something, then it's self-defense, which is quite shocking.
And what exactly did the Palestinians do that you don't condone, Hawa.
No, I'm not. I'm not saying they're. You know, I think they're just. I believe in the way of Martin Luther King. You know, it's just peaceful. I think.
Well, that hasn't been working out, really, Hawa, has it? That hasn't been working out the way of Martin Luther King. That hasn't really been working. The Palestinians gave up the attempt to recover their country by arms a long time ago. They signed the Oslo Agreement. They got down on their knees and asked the international community, in quotes, to give them at least a tiny part of Palestine on which to build their state. But it hasn't worked out very well, has it?
I am pro-Palestine, you know, and I think for a whole country to be treated like, you know, dogs that are caged, you know, human beings, is disgusting. At the same time, having said that, you know, I don't like this whole colorless things of, you know, where Muslims are saying they're going to do jihad and stuff like that, you know, and kill, you know, other, you know, people from the Jewish background.
Who's saying that, Hawa? What Palestinian has ever said?
That's what I'm saying.
Hawa, get off your knees. Get off your knees, for God's sake. The Palestinians are being slaughtered this evening. And all you can do on the television is roll out apologia after apologia. There is no Palestinian saying they're going to kill anyone because they're of Jewish background. The Palestinians are defending their little children that are being roasted alive by F-15s and F-16s and helicopter gunships and missiles and warships. For God's sake, woman, waken up. Let's go to Tony in London. Go ahead, Tony. Tony, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello, George. Nice talking to you again, George.
Nice to talk to you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have 3-4 points here, George. First, Netanyahu, during his recent address to the United Nations, he failed to make out a bulletproof case against an attack on Iran. He also failed miserably to compartmentalize Obama into a military alliance to attack Iran. In other words, he came back empty-handed and is now acting out of a desperation to salvage some respectability to boost his election chances, which he called gambling on the fact that he's, you know, his friend Mitt Romney would win the presidency. George, what do you think? What's your take on this one, George?
Well, Obama had the chance today to be a little more, shall we say, even-handed than he's been over the last 4 years. But he didn't take it. Instead, the rhetoric from Washington, as from London, has been absolutely shoulder to shoulder, four square, behind Netanyahu's murderous spasm in which little children are being burned alive. Apartment blocks are being brought down in rubble and ash on the grounds that there might or might not be quote-unquote terrorists in the neighborhood. Even the tiny baby son, Omar, of a BBC employee had his life snuffed out like that by these people. And William Hague couldn't find one word to condemn it or even to refer to it in his parliamentary statement today. So I'm not so sure, Tony. I'm wondering if this is the start of something bigger. I'm wondering if Israel intends to enter Gaza. I'm wondering if it presages some wider regional conflagration. We'll see, no doubt, in the hours to come. But thanks, as always, for your erudition. That was Tony in London talking about Gaza, and we are talking about Gaza, as well as the wave of anti-austerity strikes that are breaking across Europe and the revoking of citizenship by the dictatorship in Bahrain. Phone me if you've got a point of view on any or all of those subjects. Jeff's in the UK. He most definitely does. He wants to talk about Gaza. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hi, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Welcome.
Gaza. Well, it's very interesting, I think, that we have this latest military assault on Gaza just before an Israeli election in January.
Yeah, I think that's one of the issues. It's Netanyahu electioneering in the blood of the Palestinian children.
I know. I mean, it's nothing new. I mean, we had this before the Israeli election in 1955.
Indeed, and the Israeli electorate kicked out the government that slaughtered thousands of Palestinians in Operation Cast Lead and elected an even more extreme one. Unfortunately, for such extremists, Netanyahu's just about as extreme as it gets, so that chance won't come again.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was in 2009 after Cast Lead.
Yeah.
What I was unaware of was that Israeli pre-election military operations by Israel go back to 1955, 1961, 1981, 1996, and as you just mentioned, Cast Lead. So it's got a long pedigree, this.
Yes.
And what we're seeing in Gaza is not just brutal and barbaric, but I would advise everyone to log on to the website of the Institute for Middle East Understanding, where they've put up a timeline of the true events that have happened over the last few days, since November the 5th, actually.
Give us that again. Give us that timeline again.
It's the Institute for Middle East Understanding.
They've Institute for Middle East Understanding.
Timeline.
Yeah.
On the cycle of Israeli violence over the past few days, starting from November the 5th. You might remember that...
Is that when they killed the little boy playing football?
Before that, actually, where they killed a mentally disabled person for coming too close to the frontier of the Gaza Strip, you know, where the Israeli soldiers guard.
Yes.
Came too close to the buffer zone, and they delayed medical attention for hours to medics in Gaza, which almost certainly caused his death. And yes, on November the 8th, you had the soldiers who invaded Gaza killed the 12-year-old playing football, and it really started from then. Of course, yesterday, even Israel seems to be openly admitting that it broke the ceasefire that was brokered by Egypt in killing the Hamas military leader.
Mm. So, Jeff, that was a great call and really, really helpful. I want to cut you short, though, because I want to talk to Ashraf Shannon, who's our correspondent in Gaza. Ashraf, can you hear me?
Yes, George, I can hear you.
Excellent. Just bring the viewers up to date with exactly what's happening in Gaza at this point in time, please.
Yes, George, since Wednesday afternoon, when Israeli warships assassinated a senior Hamas official, the Israeli air raids on the Gaza Strip did not stop. Also, tank shellac and firing shells from guns from the Mediterranean towards the tiny coastal enclave that's been blockaded for nearly 6 years. This is a home of 1.7 million people. 55% of them are children. We're talking about nearly 800,000 people who are under the age of 18. This is why we have many people who were killed and injured are children. Up to this moment, at least 17 Palestinians were killed. Most of them are civilians. Palestinian resistance fighters responded to the Israeli aggression by firing homemade rockets into Israeli military bases around the Gaza Strip. The Israeli military is saying that they have called their reservists to the front near Gaza, and people here are bracing themselves for a major onslaught, maybe worse than that one that took place at the turn of 2009, where at least 1,400 Palestinians were killed, including hundreds of women and children, George.
And what's the morale of the Palestinian people under siege in Gaza if the so-called defense force of what they call Israel were to enter Gaza? What kind of reception would they face?
George, the morale is extremely high among Palestinians. The Palestinians throughout history were resilient, and they were not. It's not going to be a cakewalk for the Israelis if they do enter Gaza through a land incursion. If the Israelis do that, analysts say and experts say, military experts say, that the Israelis will lose a lot of soldiers in Gaza.
Ashraf, stay safe. Thanks very much for joining us. Long live Palestine, free, Arab, and dignified. Long live the resisting people of Gaza. That's what I say. What do you say? Call me up if you have a different point of view, especially because I'll frankly tell you I'm in the mood to argue with you. John is in France. Let's see what he has to say about Gaza. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you. What I've got to say is that democracy is what we keep being told is the answer to everything. There was a democratic vote in Gaza. These people were made, won the vote democratically, and now they're being murdered. The word is murdered. Premeditated killing is murder. Call it assassination if you want to, or call it whatever you want. It's murder.
Well, the children were certainly murdered, weren't they, John?
Well, you say the children were murdered. I'm saying that the people were murdered because it's premeditated killing,
yeah.
Which is
well,
murder.
It's an extra. In the case of the Hamas leader,
I don't deal in anything which isn't straight.
Yeah. Let's get our terms straight. We don't have a disagreement, you and me. The Hamas military leader was subjected to extrajudicial assassination, which is illegal under international law, and every civilian who has died has been murdered.
They've made the wrong choice, and therefore they've chosen terrorists.
Yes, I don't know about you, John. I'm not a fan of Hamas. I never have been. I wouldn't have voted for them. I don't even like them very much, and I have even lost.
Neither do I.
I've even
Neither
lost
do
some.
I.
I've even
I
lost some.
I
used to
Neither
respect
do I
them.
Like them.
Yeah.
But they were made.
Well, that's
into
the point
the
I'm coming to, John. I used to respect them quite a lot. I've lost some respect for them, but none of that matters. As you and I both say, the only thing that matters is that the Palestinian people elected them, and that means the rest of the world has to deal with them.
And the rule of law, dear boy, which America seems to ignore, the rule of law is the thing that matters. The only thing that matters, because if you haven't got the rule of law, you've got anarchy. So when you suit yourself to forget the rule of law, it's nothing in America's favour, it's nothing in anybody's favour. Nothing in the Jewish favour, nothing in the Israeli favour, anybody else's favour.
Excellent call,
and
John. First class, couldn't put it better. Excellent. Let's go to Belgium, talk to Ali on the same subject. Ali, welcome to the show.
Hi, George.
Nice to hear from you. What would you like to say?
Yeah, actually, I want to talk about this recent attack of Israel on the Palestine.
Yeah.
Actually, I think it was, again, they planned a slaughter of the Palestinian people. And it is, again, the dual standard of the Western countries and the U.S. because we don't expect any justice from the U.N. or the rest of the world. And I think the big fault is from the Muslim countries. The big fault is from the Muslim, so-called Muslim Ummah. We are not a Muslim Ummah. These stupid sheikhs, they are pulling money. They are giving money to these rebels in Syria, try to pull down Assad. But when this Israel, they come and attack and kill Palestinians, they can't say a single word. They can't even condemn Israel. They don't have a courage to speak about any killing because for them, Palestinians don't exist. And they just do everything for their power and to become kings and to become sheikhs. So this is the height of hypocrisy by the Arab world and by the Muslim.
Excellent call, Ali, in Belgium. Let me comment on it. First of all, we have to salute the actions of President Morsi, the president of the great Egypt. He has kicked out the Israeli ambassador. He has withdrawn the Egyptian ambassador from what they call Israel. He has opened the gates of Rafah, and I'm sure he's doing the best that he can. But where are the others? Where is this ummah that they talk about in the school? Where is this ummah that they talk about in the mosque? Where are these Arab leaders? Where are these Muslim leaders? What are they doing? What are they going to do about the massacre of little children in the besieged Gaza Strip, about the destruction and Judaization of Holy Jerusalem? What are they doing? What are they going to do about the spreading of illegal settlements all over the land that they call the West Bank, making a separate Palestinian state absolutely impossible. I'll tell you what they're doing. I'll tell you what they're going to do. In the Persian Gulf, the satrapies of the United States are giving Israel oil and gas cheaper even than the dictator Hosni Mubarak gave it to them. The multi-billionaires in the Persian Gulf are buying English football teams at £1 billion a time, or Parisian football teams at €1 billion a time. They're building skyscrapers when the barefoot are building towers in the sky. The era of the Antichrist comes closer, does it not? That's what they're doing whilst the Palestinians are bleeding in the land of Palestine. They are gambling in the casino. They are lying in the bordellos. They're giving Western countries billions of dollars for weapons they can never use. That's what they're doing whilst the Palestinian people are bleeding. Oh, there's one other thing they're doing. They're giving guns and money to fools who are turning their guns on other Arabs, on other Muslims, to try and destroy other Arab Muslim countries whilst the Palestinians are left to die alone. You couldn't make it up. You don't have to. Just watch Press TV News. You'll see it all being played out. Shahid's in London. He wants to talk about Gaza. Shahid, go ahead.
Salam, George.
Alaikum salam. Go ahead, sir.
I'm just calling about the issue in Palestine. It's an issue very close to my heart.
Yeah.
Now, I've been watching the media lately, and the mainstream media, I've heard one Israeli spokesman talking about the fact that a lot of the children in Israel are suffering from PTSD. And it was very, when I was watching that, I was thinking to myself, I've seen documentaries of children picking up the flesh of their Muslim brothers and sisters to bury. And I'm thinking to myself, the whole world is watching the Israelis attacking the defenseless Palestinian, of whom most of the majority of the population is kids. And I'm thinking the whole world is sitting down watching them attack from the skies, from the sea, from the land, and no one is doing nothing about it. No one is doing nothing about it. It's really, really, really sad.
I'm going to cut you short, not least because you summed everything up in the less than 60 seconds that you were speaking. I couldn't do better. I want to squeeze in Ali in Leeds on the same subject. Ali, welcome to the show.
Hi there, George.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, well, I'm just ringing up because I'm really concerned about the death toll that's going to be inflicted on the Palestinian side, because obviously, you know, it looks like the tanks will roll in, it looks like the ground forces will roll in, and we've got a situation where there's a lack of international support for the Palestinians. You know, Western governments are just going to, like, idly let this killing take place. And I just think that there should be a real push for a diplomatic solution as quickly as possible, you know, just going to stop and stem the bloodshed. Because, you know, inevitably, many, many more Palestinians are going to die compared to Israelis.
Well, I don't know what you mean by a diplomatic solution, Ali. We have facts which don't change. Palestine has been wiped off the map. The Palestinians have been scattered to the four corners of the earth. Jerusalem is being destroyed. The West Bank is being illegally settled. Gaza has been, for almost 6 years, illegally besieged. The people are starving. Thus, they cry out to attract the world's attention to the starvation of their children. Israel responds with a blitzkrieg of death in shell, shot, and gas. I'm not sure what diplomatic solution you have in mind. I'll tell you this. The Palestinians are made of sterner stuff. If the tanks come in, they'll be fought. If the Israeli invaders enter, then they will have to fight for every meter of land that they advance. That's the facts, Ali. I'll be back, God willing, after the news in just a couple of minutes. Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway. We're talking about the Israeli attack upon Gaza and the Palestinian people's resistance. We heard from Ashraf Shannon, our correspondent in Gaza, that the morale of the people is extremely high as they prepare for yet another ground invasion by the settler state's so-called defense force, which is going to find that the Palestinian people have come too far to surrender their rights. Somebody asked a moment or two ago about a diplomatic solution to this. What? A return to the status quo ante? A return to quietude by the people under siege in Gaza? What else can they do under siege in Gaza except cry out in the only ways available to them? Martin Luther King tactics? Are they all going to sit down and have a peaceful sit-in in Gaza until they've all starved to death? That's what I'm asking you. And we're talking about the anti-austerity strikes which are taking place in Europe as the unemployed and those fearful that they're soon to join them are rising up against the austerity policies of the European Union and its bankers. And in Bahrain, they're revoking the citizenship of the citizens of its own country who are calling for the right to elect the government of their own country. Couldn't make it up, don't have to. It's happening in front of your eyes, at least if you're watching Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. Ali's in Manchester. He wants to talk about Gaza. Ali, welcome to the show.
George, how are you doing? You okay?
Very well. Firing on all cylinders tonight, by the grace of God. Go ahead, Ali.
It's funny, because what's in my head, you've just mentioned two things. Number one, by the grace of God, I hope you keep firing in all cylinders, and I hope you get a couple of more implanted cylinders inside here.
Thanks a lot.
The second thing, what you said was watching Press TV. That's what I actually wanted to talk to you about. I've been watching both sides of the media, the so-called fog what we get shown on normal channels without naming them, and then obviously what you guys show. Now, first of all, I wanted to put this. First time I've actually run your show, to be honest with you. I'm a bit lazy like that. I always kind of shout down the TV and never have an opportunity. First of all, I want to say to your viewers, thank you very much to non-Muslims and Muslims alike to actually supporting Press TV and actually ringing in and airing, because it's lovely for people to see that. It's not Muslims that are banging on about this. It's actually not right, full stop, from whatever colour, creed, religion, etc. Now, I was talking to a member of staff. I work in a school, and this gentleman, I'll nutshell it because I know you've got a hell of a lot of people calling. Long story short, I asked his opinions about what do you think, what's going on, have you heard? And he did mention it, and long story short, he was going off what he'd been kind of watching from these channels. And what I did was, I mean, I'm an ICT teacher, so I fired up Press TV. I said, there you go, let's watch some of this online. And he was new to it. He thought, I'm going to, you know, try to revert him or convert him or try to read some kind of verse out of the Quran. I said, relax, calm down, just watch. So he watched it for about a good 15, 20 minutes. And tell you what, he had a different mentality after watching that. And that actually triggered something else in my head. So I decided to put my phone out and I decided to text everybody, Press TV Live, watch this, guys, if you want to know exactly what's going on. So my point for ringing is to your viewers, really, if you can, please, and it's free and it doesn't cost you, and if it does and you don't mind spending your text messages, please text your non-Muslim friends and Muslim friends and people in your phone book to say, if you want to know the truth, just watch Press TV end of the day, and at least then, from our point, we'll have that small, minute satisfaction that we have done something. Now, leading on to my next point, and George, you're definitely going to be the one to answer this to me, yeah? What the hell are the Muslim people or the communities in Arab doing? How can this be allowed?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to have to cut you short because I've got so many people on the line, but it was an exceptionally fine call, and I'm grateful to you for it. But that is exactly the point that I was going to respond to. You see, there's a big demonstration in London this evening against the aggression on Gaza, and there's others. There's one in Belfast, there's one in Bradford, I think today or tomorrow. There's one in Glasgow and Edinburgh and so on. But I'll tell you what, the majority of the people who will be demonstrating there will not be Muslims. And so I ask this question, where is this Ummah? Where is it? From the Atlantic to the Persian Gulf, there are 350 million Arabs, most of them represented by regimes who are collaborating with the Israeli oppressors of the Palestinian people. The people killing the Palestinians. Some of them are even in league with the Israeli Crusader Alliance to destroy other Arab countries. And what's being done about it? Every one of us must face the judgment day, you know, and we'll be asked what we did when the Palestinians were being murdered in Gaza. And we better have an answer. Abdul Razak is in Nigeria. He wants to talk about Gaza, though. Abdul Razak, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hello, good evening.
Good evening, go ahead, sir.
Okay, really, it's been a long time. I'm looking for opportunity to be able to talk to you on this program. Really, what I'm always monitoring Press TV on Gaza and Palestine. Really, I'm so sad when I got a very bad threat from Israel. America is there. They said they are human rights protection, but I don't see anything they do about this. UK is there. Saudi Arabia, a Muslim country, that they're supposed to be a protector of Islam, but they are still following American up to date. I don't know. Are they cowards?
Well, they're worse than cowards. They're worse than cowards. They're thieves, they're killers, they're torturers, and they have usurped the great people of Arabia. And that's a very important point to make. This corrupt, corpulent, kleptocratic, murderous Saudi regime do not represent either the people of Arabia, whom they have branded with their dirty name. They don't represent the Sunni Muslims that they pretend to. They don't represent the Salafists that they claim they are. They don't represent anybody except themselves, and they govern in the interests of the others, from whom they weapons they don't need as a means of corrupting those countries to keep themselves in power. And they gamble it and they spend it on whores in bordellos around the world. They drink it in alcohol. They sniff it up their nose in cocaine. They are the lowest on the earth. And that's why their mouths are shut this evening as Palestinian children are being roasted in Gaza. That's why, for they have nothing that they can possibly say. Now, Qasem al-Hashimi is one of the Bahraini citizens, Bahrain being currently occupied by the mercenaries employed by the so-called Al Saud family. He's one of the Bahraini citizens who's had his citizenship taken away from him. Imagine a government elected by no one, which takes the passports and citizenship away from its own people. He's the London head of Bahrain's international mission, which is why he's on the line now. Mr. Al-Hashimi, Your Excellency, welcome to the show.
Thank you, George, for having me on your program. First of all, tell you, George, that this decision has been taken by a minister of interior, whereas the Bahrain claims that it is their right to revoke the nationality from their citizen according to the paragraph number 10 of the Bahrain constitution, which is not correct. I mean, this right is only supported by the head of the system itself once he is able to present what can he prove that those citizen has been committed such crime that could affect the security of the state itself and has been presented to a court and been given the opportunity to defend their stand, which nothing of those has been happened to us. I mean, we only wake up in the morning to hear that our nationalities has been revoked. It's also mentioned that in 19th, also the Bahrain government has also revoked our nationality, George. And unfortunately, I tell you a real story, George. In that time when they revoked our nationality, I lost it by mother, and I could not even say goodbye in her last minute. Now, who can also guaranteed that none of those 31 would lose their mothers, fathers, brothers, sister, and they will not be able to say question that we are in Bahrain for more than 1,000 years, while those Al Khalifa regime has just in Bahrain for 200 years. Who has the right to revoke the other nationality? Now it's
yeah.
Very
that,
funny.
I mean,
it's
if I were you, I'd revoke their citizenship. Now, where does this leave you, Your Excellency? Stateless, passportless, paperless? What does it mean?
Well, yes, exactly. They will leave us like, you know, we have no documentation. Some of our friends whom they revoked their nationality, also their family has been splitted, George. They are in three countries and they don't know how to travel, how to meet each other. It's really a horrible situation.
So that, you are Bedun. You are now a Bedun.
Exactly, we are Bedouin. We are again. We all of us are now Bedouin, and we don't know even. Some of us don't know even how to travel from where they are at the present. Neither they are not allowed to stay in some of the countries where they are now. Nor they are allowed to travel to other countries. It's very. Mr. Eric, Lord Eric Avery has mentioned this like a horrible situation.
Yes.
All I can say
to you in small consolation, Your Excellency, I don't believe it will last for long. This regime in Bahrain is in its last days. They can still lash out in their death throes, but they are death throes. It's not the vigor of the birth, believe me. Thank you for calling us. Let's talk to Mehdi in London about Gaza. Mehdi, welcome to the show.
Hello, George. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Go ahead, sir.
George, I was going to talk. I want to talk about the Gaza. How terrible that is what's happening over there. And then I forgot what I was going to say. Actually, it's gone.
No, that's all right. It must be distressing for you, Mehdi, as it is for everybody else. To watch on the screen the kind of suffering that's going on, at least if you're watching Press TV. If you're watching the mainstream British channels, well, you'll find a tiny fraction of the truth being broadcast there and nothing more, because the rest is propaganda. The Bush and Blair Corporation is in full Israel apologia mode. And as for the others, well, they're, if anything, even worse, especially the American channels, where the suffering in Gaza is hardly even visible for 20 seconds on the news, and its cause is completely and totally misrepresented. Let's go to the comment wall, try and squeeze some emails in, because many, many people have emailed this evening. Let's see your country, your point of view up here on the comment wall. This one from David in Dublin in Ireland. As always, you speak the truth. I'd just like to ask you, what is your take on the Israeli war machine's use of social media, mainly Twitter and Facebook, to goad the Palestinian people and openly saying they may have to remove elected members of the Hamas movement? How is this allowed to happen? Humanity, get off your knees and say no to this genocide. Keep fighting the good fight, George. Thanks, David. It's a very good point. People have gone to prison for years for posting on Facebook that people should turn up at a given place and have a riot. Now, there wasn't even a riot. While Israel is allowed to be on Facebook and on Twitter openly boasting about committing murder and openly proposing to commit new murders. Very, very good point, David. I wonder what Facebook and Twitter have to say about that. Let's go back to the comment wall, take at least one more email. This one, Rowena from London. Without you getting angry and telling me to get off my knees, answer me this. What do you do when your village gets hit by 60 rockets every day? Sit there and whistle and don't tell me about a siege. They can't get food and water, but they can get rockets. Well, why don't you call me up, Rowena, and we can argue that point of view. I'm not sure what village has been hit by 60 rockets in a day. In the whole of the last 6 years, fewer than 10 Israelis have been killed by rockets. But in that 6 years, Israel has murdered thousands of Palestinian people. maimed many more thousands of Palestinian people, destroyed more than 60,000 Palestinian homes. Israel has the weapons of mass destruction. The Palestinians have rockets so pitiful that 99% of them either didn't launch at all or exploded harmlessly in open country or landed in the sea. These are facts, Rowena, and I'm not at all angry. I'm very sad that you are so misinformed, or even worse, that you're so wicked that you would seek to misinform others, knowing the truth yourself. Don't confuse a righteous indignation in me with the low emotion of anger. I tremble with indignation at the suffering of the Palestinian people in Gaza. I imagine that that scorched baby being held up to the camera is my own son. I imagine that that little boy murdered whilst playing football is my own son. That's why I can tremble with indignation. And I pray to God, Rowena, that the day will come when you too have the humanity to be similarly capable of trembling with that indignation. Let's talk to Hamza in Birmingham. About Gaza, Hamza, welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum, George.
Alaikum salam. Go ahead, sir.
Just a quick question to you, to yourself, George. First of all, I'd like to commend you on your efforts in bringing about or notifying the people of the United Kingdom and all over the world and the people that are watching Press TV realities of Gaza.
Thank you, brother.
My question to you, George, is as a British citizen and as a Muslim, what would my role be in helping the people of Gaza? And I ask that because I'm sure there are many, many people like myself who are living in the UK who wish no more than to help their brothers and sisters in Gaza, in Syria, but for fear of retribution from the British government.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that you could do, Hamza. You could get up to Rotherham, not so far away, and you could help my colleague, Yvonne Ridley, get elected to Parliament so that there's two of us in Parliament representing your point of view rather than just one, and one who has to be in 100 different places at the same time. You could join the Respect Party, respectparty.org, on the internet. You could help Yvonne Ridley, and she has become second favourite already in the betting in the election in Rotherham. And everybody watching that can do something like that, because Yvonne Ridley is the best hope. She's the best hope of those not yet in Parliament. And most of those in Parliament are wholeheartedly supporting Israel. So there you go. Go to Yvonne Ridley for Rotherham on Facebook. Go to respectparty.org to join the party. That's something constructive, Hamza, that you could do. Let me go all the way to the United States and talk to David about Gaza. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good evening, George. You know, I am looking at this Gaza situation, and it's very sad. And we should ask ourselves why a country can so free-handedly be able to massacre people who don't even produce a bullet or a single gun. And some of that, part mostly is because imposed by the Western government to watch their own interest as a military base, Israel in the Middle East. But there are things that Muslims can do to prevent, to make that the effect of Israel very weak. One of it is Hajj situation. Look, there are over 50 majority Muslim countries in the world sending over 100,000 pilgrims to the Saudi annually. Hajj trip costs an average of $5,000 to $10,000 benefit to the Saudi regime, resulting in annual income of over $25 billion for Saudis. whereas the Malik Abdullah, the king of Saudi, is either buys a $25 million diamond necklace for Condoleezza Rice upon her going away from the White House, or on his in excess of for his in excess of 50 kids, or his harem, or his thousands of princesses gambling and womanizing in the West. Neither this income is spent on needy Muslims or in Bangladesh, nor Palestinians, but supports state-sponsored terrorism like Taliban and Al-Qaeda in Syria, killing Muslims and buying hundreds of billions of dollars of arms from
okay.
the West.
Okay, David, some very good points there from the United States. I'm going to stay in the United States for what will have to be the last call, unfortunately, and that's Yusuf in New York. Yusuf, welcome to the show.
Hi, George. First, Hi. Before I say anything, I want to let you know that I'm fully on the side of the Palestinian people, but this happens all the time. Israel invades Gaza and kills at will, and Palestinians and Arabs get all worked up, and they say they're going to defend themselves, but they never do anything. I don't care how many times we hear about rockets. What are they hitting? Sand and grass? All the Arab world has its fingers up their behinds. The Israelis are shooting fish in a barrel. We hear all this noise coming from the Arab world, and they do nothing for their people. When President Ahmadinejad, who let me say is a true friend to the Palestinians, defended Palestinians, we hear there are Palestinians who call him a liar and they don't want his help. I know Muslim Arabs who say they like the way the current world order is with the United States leading the peace. Don't they get that they clearly don't give a damn about them? They are willing to talk peace with Israel and the United States, who regards them as roaches, but people like in Iran, who regard them to the highest esteem, the Arab world loathes them. They conspire with the United States and Israel to destroy Iran. There is something severely wrong with these Arabs. I don't know how much they hate themselves. They only respect and worship America and Israel. They don't defend their brothers at all. What is wrong with these people?
Well, it's the leaders that we're talking about, Yusuf, because my take in the last 24 hours is that the Arab people are beginning to rise up. There is, as Syed Hassan Nasrallah, who I remind you is an Arab, said on this very television station just an hour or so ago, this is an awakening. This is an Arab and Islamic awakening. And in that shaking off the decades of sleep, maybe coma, the Arabs sometimes are confused, sometimes taking two steps forward, sometimes taking three steps back. But they are in shaking off the chains that have bound them for so long, not going to be confused for very much longer. The ship is coming in. That ship will liberate the Arab people from the rulers who have lorded over them and filled their pockets and their stomachs for so very long. That day is coming. These have been my views, not Press TV's. I hope you'll join me again next week.
Hello, just comment your name and the place you left that number. And just make sure your television volume is set to 0.
0, 0. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know, I know. You'll be directly put through this. You need your phone number and then we'll be back.
Comment. Can I have your telephone?